Network, restoring vitality to you, your back, and to the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, along with the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how you doing today?
Straight as an arrow, baby.
Straight as an arrow? Well, I want to start off with something that was in Business Week this week. And the headline is, Complex Final Operations Soar Despite Drawbacks. Greater hazard, no benefit, experts say. So the Health Day News reported that the use of complex surgical procedures, and as soon as I read this first part, I just knew that these people were right in line with your philosophy of health, Martin. The use of complex surgical procedures to treat back pain has exploded in the past 6 years. Even though these operations are riskier and more expensive than simpler treatments, and not necessarily more effective, a study finds. I was a bit surprised to see how big the increase was, said Dr. Richard Dreo, professor of family medicine and internal medicine at the Oregon Health and Science University. They found a 15-fold increase over a short period of time. And he said several possible explanations exist for the increase, money among them. There are financial influences at play, Dr. Dreo said. You get paid more for complex procedures.
Right. So let's break it down really simply. It's this. American healthcare system has somehow evolved into a complete disconnect between the person that receives the treatment and the person that's paying for the treatment and the person that's hiring the person to treat him. It's sort of like, you know, veterinarians. I want to give you a dilemma, okay? Or outline to you a dilemma. A really high-priced horse has sprained his ankle. He used to be a phenomenal racing horse. He used to win. But now he has had a bit of a sprain, and it is pretty much obvious that he will never run in his top form ever, if we believe that we cannot restore it, right?
Yeah.
So now the owner of the horse comes to the veterinarian and asks the veterinarian to issue this piece of paper, and it says, the condition of the horse is beyond repair. We have to put him down. Now the reason the owner of the horse wants this is because he can that way collect on the insurance that he is on that horse.
Right.
So now the veterinarian needs to decide in this ethical conundrum, will he kill the horse and satisfy the owner of the horse so that the owner can have his way and collect his insurance money? So how does that translate into a human medicine? In a human medicine, the horse would be able to speak for itself. But if the horse were a child, his parents would be speaking for him.
Yeah.
And he would be telling the doctor what he wants done. But the connection of the money isn't so direct. Here in America, we have people thinking that somebody else pays for the health care and that it's okay to somehow have the insurance take care of it.
Right.
So why is this complex medical procedure more popular than the less invasive one, such as ice pack, or such as supplementation that we already know about, you know, something like heavy metal toxicity we know causes weak discs, which means that it will cause back pain, which means that we can and know how to reverse it.
Martin, you know, you bring up a great point because we're not talking small numbers here when it comes to dollars. Like the complex fusions that these people are talking about in this study, the patients spend an average of 2 more days in the hospital and the average costs are over $80,000. And that's compared to $23,000 for a simpler operation and, you know, $100 a month for the proper supplementation, right?
I mean, yes, $100 a month. Can you conceive that? Actually, our stuff is more like $60 a month.
Yeah, so
for the supplementation.
Right, you know. So I mean, the insurance companies would be further ahead, giving you $80,000 and saying, "Here are all our patients. Give them the nutrition that they need." And what gets worse about this story is the chance of you returning to hospital within 30 days after having a complex back operation is double that of the simpler operation, and who knows how many times more than that of never having a back problem in the first place because you've got strong bones and healthy cardiovascular systems and all the rest of it, right?
Well, there are two major issues with having an operation. Number one, the anesthesia. You know, people die from anesthetics. Let me remind you of Michael Jackson.
Right.
You know, somewhat of an abuse there, but people actually die of anesthetics. People also die of complications, like, for instance, if a piece of fat, you know, such as thrombosis, if a piece of tissue gets dislodged inside of the circulatory system, it will float. If it ends up in your heart, it will block a piece of your heart's getting oxygen and will die. That's called infarction, heart attack. If it blocks a piece of your brain, it's going to be known as a stroke. And either of those two outcomes aren't nice. And then there's the third one, which is the infection, the unintended complication. Hospitals are full of sick people. No matter how hard these surgeons and nurses scrub and prepare and care for and all of that, that operating theater may be perfect and clean and everything, and yet when they move you off of it, you're going through hallways, past all kinds of stuff. You know, you're coming off of the theater. There's stuff incoming. You know, there could be some gunshot wounds coming off the street. You know. These people aren't washed. They're coming in on emergencies.
Right.
So there's all kinds of stuff in hospitals that you will encounter. And there are complications. You know, people get infections. So I recall Jim Henson, you know, the Kermit, the Muppet guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he died of simple staphylococcus infection. You know, staph in your throat, it just gives you red tonsils. But if it gets into a scratch on your leg, it'll turn into this flesh-eating disease and it'll possibly kill you.
Right, right.
I mean, I'm remembering a woman who woke up in a hospital without her legs and without her arms. Because that was what needed to be done to save her. So there she is, perfectly happy torso, no arms, no legs. But she's living. And that's from a complication of some kind of a simple hospital procedure.
Well, and, you know, I just want to kind of reinforce what you've been saying, because a couple of days ago in Inglewood, California, this surgeon has been charged with involuntary manslaughter because a patient of his died, and he was practicing out of his office, and he didn't have a licensed anesthesiologist, or was not at a licensed hospital or at a surgical center. So he's basically performing surgery in one of his little rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a 30-year-old patient who was undergoing a hernia and gallbladder operation, and he died. The guy gave him $3,000 cash, I guess, and he got too much anesthesia, a little bit, you know, which
yes.
The doctor administered himself.
Yes.
And then the doctor says, well, he actually died because he was allergic to the anesthesia. I just assume not have any of that stuff around me, if you don't mind, particularly if I don't need to, right?
Well, so of course the back problem. So let's start with back pain. Back pain is really awful. I mean, I used to have that myself. I mean, I remember distinctly trying to get out of bed and unable to do it. You know, I needed to go to the washroom. I had to actually roll off the bed on the floor and crawl all fours. I couldn't even go vertical. And I would just sort of crawl, and then I would nuzzle my back behind to the toilet bowl, and I would push myself onto it, sort of. I would never sit straight. I would just sort of lean on it just so my genitals would hang over the edge, right? And do my business that way. So I can relate to people who have back pain. I know this territory intimately, and I can say it this way. When you have back pain, you figure out how tough you're not.
Right.
It is unbelievably unpleasant. Debilitating to the character, and so on, right? I mean, yeah. It's awful. I could just start crying, just remembering the feelings they experienced.
Right. So when you're in that type of situation, you'll probably do anything you can to not have that happen again.
And so you start taking drugs, right? I mean, that's the first line of defense. If you have just a little bit of back pain or whatever stuff, you take the normal mainstream, maybe over-the-counter medication. You take some anti-inflammatories, you know, the NSAIDs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, aspirin or whatnot, those type of things. If you need stronger stuff, you take something that has some serious painkillers in it, like codeine or things like that. If you're lucky and your doctor loves you, he subscribes some opiates to you, like OxyContin or something like that.
You start feeling really good.
Oh God, you feel good. You have no idea. I mean, it's better than smoking dope. It's more like taking heroin. Yeah, it's a phenomenal feeling. I mean, it tickles all the brain centers that make you feel loved and happy. Mm. Why wouldn't you get addicted to that? Anyway, so we. That's where we go, right? We start with painkillers because the society tells us you have pain, kill the pain.
Yeah, and also we want a quick fix.
Yes, quick fix.
We don't want to be sitting in that pain for very long if we can avoid it, right?
Right. So, I don't know if you recall, you could probably Google that and see some really interesting things about COX-2 inhibitors. COX-2, that's an enzyme. You know, cyclooxygenase is an enzyme that oxidizes the arachidonic acid into prostaglandin, blah, blah, blah. You know, technical stuff. But essentially, COX-2 inhibitor it stops the inflammation.
Okay.
Well, the famous one was Vioxx. It was working somewhat okay, other than that it was causing about 100,000 heart attacks a year in the United States. 100,000 heart attacks.
Wow.
Do you think that there would be a problem if some mass killer stepped into America and killed 100,000 people?
We'd hope so.
Well, give up your hope, because nothing's happened. I mean, did you hear about the owners of the company that put it on the market prematurely, without proper oversight, lying about the data they collected on the tests? They actually put it on the market cheating on the data.
Mm.
And where were the public hangings?
Good question.
If you're responsible for 100,000 premature deaths, shouldn't you hear about it in the mainstream press?
You would think so. Holy smokes.
Except if you own the media, if you already own the television and newspaper, you're able to get that off of the mainstream. You can only read this on the internet. You cannot find this in television, radio, or print.
Mm.
But you can find it on the internet if you go looking. I may. Well, we still have a cousin of Vioxx on the market. It's called Celebrex, and people are taking it. And it's not a good thing, I believe, but it hasn't been pulled. It probably doesn't have as many problems as the Vioxx was doing.
Right.
Okay, so let's jump to another drug that the doctor will likely prescribed to you if you show up with pains. Corticosteroids. These are cousins to the anabolic steroids. These are called corticosteroids. They essentially block the inflammatory response in the body. They have an unfortunate effect of making you swell in a really bizarre way. The most popular one of these is it's called prednisone. Have you heard of it?
I have heard of it, yes.
Yeah, people use it. It's used, for instance, on treating lupus, but it's also used in treating people who have lots of pain in their joints or in their back. So they'll give you the prednisone. It'll block the inflammatory response in your body, but it has a few side effects. One of them is the moon face, like all of a sudden you just sort of blow up, you start looking different.
Okay.
Many, many side effects. And cannot get off of it quickly. If you try to discontinue it, you're in a world of trouble.
Wow. So anyway, the problem is you get onto something, it solves the short-term issue, which is I'm in pain and I can't stand it anymore. But it gives you a long-term problem in that it doesn't fix the problem that you've got to cause the pain, and it causes another problem because you're probably unable to get off quickly or unable to get off easily the drug that you're now on.
Right. That's right. So that's the painkiller. So then they give up. Then they say, well, you have structural problems. They don't look for the reason for the structural problem. They, the structural problem is your discs are failing, right?
Right.
Either you have a bulging disc that's pushing onto a nerve, or you have a thinning disc which is causing a, squeezing of the space between the two discs. Either way, you may have a pressure on a nerve, right? And if you move just so, it just hits you. Well, how do I best describe it? If the tires on your car are underinflated, the ride becomes kind of wobbly, like it's really mushy, like you turn and the car just doesn't hold on the road, it just goes all over the place.
Yeah.
When your discs are weakened, they behave like underinflated tires. The pressure of the weight, like you're trying to sit instead of lie down, and the pressure is bulging them out. And as you bulge them out, they hit nerves. And as they hit nerves, they start to cause pain. One of the most popular ones is called sciatica, where you have this
right.
nerve.
Yeah, people hear, I hear about that all the time. You have a problem with their sciatica nerve, and now all of a sudden you're paralyzed practically.
Right. So what happens, the sciatic nerve runs down your leg, from the small of your back down your leg. And so when you bend forward or twist or whatever, all of a sudden you have this signal, because that nerve gets squeezed at the spine, and all of a sudden you have this signal run down all the way to the tip, and in some people it goes all the way down to your toes. So it depends it depends on the angles and whatnot, but it's not fun. It really is like somebody's giving you shots with a taser,
Right.
So what do they do? Well, they either do spinal fusion, which actually means sticking a bone graft between two or more vertebrae, so that they grow together, and you completely eliminate the motion. Well, how much fun is it? You're designed to have that articulation there. It's supposed to bend in that spot. Now they fused it, so you're now not ever going to be able to bend that part of your body, right?
Right.
So that's the spinal fusion. Laminectomy is removal of the lamina, which is the back portion of the spine that's essentially making more room for the nerves. Like you're essentially chiseling more space for the nerves. You're not dealing with the structural problem by shoring up the collapsing structure. What you're doing is you're digging a hole in the structure so it can fall further in.
Wonderful.
Right. And then discectomy, which is the most common, that's the simple procedure that you were talking about earlier, which would be removal of the herniated disc to relieve the pressure. Again, something's bulging out. They're not trying to figure out how to make it stop bulging. Instead, they just simply cut away the bulge. And they have either surgical approach to it or they have enzymatic approach to it. They have used aggressive enzymes like papain to inject it into the site and have the enzyme essentially eat that protein that's sticking out. It's kind of interesting. Very inventive. It's all weapon-like kind of tools, you know, a knife and a gun and a this, and a, you know, all of the aggressive intervention that they apply to it instead of the nurturing, mothering kind of stuff, saying, well, what would cause the body to create more firmness in the lamina and in the discs and the ligaments and all of that?
What would do that, Martin?
I'm glad you asked. Well, essentially it's a protein deficiency. Your body, because of its toxic state, is unable to disassemble proteins you eat correctly and assemble the ones that it needs badly to structure the discs. It's the outer wrapping of the disc that has gone weak. When it's weak, it'll bulge. So the primary problem, more often than not, is in your gut, and it will be corrected by prebiotic, probiotic, a nice complex product such as, let's say, the Exostrata flora that we talked about before. It will help you restore proper culture in the gut. But
okay.
More than that, it's probably heavy metals that are causing the biggest problems. Mercury, lead, cadmium, arsenic, nickel, those are the most popular of the problems that we see. Those can be reduced by intake of zeolite. But to repair itself, the repair of the back pain, needs to be done by ingesting amino acids. And this cool, smart chiropractor, Dr. Vickery, and you studied his material some time ago,
yes,
put together this product, which is just so simple, yet so genius. It's free-form amino acids. Get the essential ones only, the ones that cannot be assembled in the human body, that has to be ingested from outside, in a format that resembles what would be found in a chicken egg, with the necessary cofactors. There are all kinds of amino acids on the market, but most of them are missing the cofactors, and they are sulfur and molybdenum. Without sulfur, the assembly doesn't proceed, and without molybdenum, it doesn't proceed correctly. Ta-da! Vickery patented it, and we're the distributor for the product. It's called Platinum Plus Amino Acids. And boy, does it ever help with back pain.
And it doesn't cost $80,000 either, does it?
No, $39 a bottle. It's about a one-month supply. Maybe double that in your trying to get better state, but that won't last more, maybe 3-4 months.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get better nutrient absorption. You're going to get the proper dietary protein. So this is better than me just eating extra chicken.
Well, because your gut is broken and it's not disassembling the proteins that are arriving correctly, you need to somehow supplement for the deficiency. So you need to do two things, right? You need to overcome the deficiency by supplementing it, and overcome the cause of the deficiency by detoxing it.
Right.
Yay. Well, we have one other really interesting product, and that's called Recovery. Recovery is an anti-inflammatory that's all natural. So instead of doing that OxyContin, aspirin, Tylenol, ibuprofen dance, you can get on Recovery. Recovery doesn't deal with the pain receptors. It doesn't try to trick your brain into not feeling the pain. What it does do, it puts out the fire. The fire of the inflammation. So that means that your body is now all of a sudden able to move without, you know, all the nerve signals going. I don't know how to best describe it. You know, it's like pushing that button that's on your desk that goes...
Right, Right.
Yeah, like if you move this way. So when you take the when you take something like the recovery, the buzzer is getting quieter and quieter and quieter until it no longer goes off. So you push the button and nothing happens. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really awesome. And it's also something that has more of the sulfur that you're talking about, right?
Right. Oh, yes. They have the manufacturer of that company from Canada called Biomedica. They have done all of the studies, and they came up with many of the bits that Dr. Vickery also put together. But they don't have the molybdenum in it, and they don't have the amines in it.
So there's a story that somebody sent in to the Life Enthusiast Co-op website, and I just want to share that with everybody. It was a person who was 33 years old and was diagnosed with a degenerative disc in their lower back, L5-S1.
Right. That's
12 months ago.
Yeah, that's sacrum and lumbar. That's just about your waistline.
Okay. And after dealing with years of chronic back pain and many days laid up in bed, he's tried many different prescription anti-inflammatory muscle relaxants and painkillers in the past, and nothing seemed to work. And then I tried recovery. I'm very thankful I found out about recovery and been recommending it to everyone I know since. So that's pretty amazing story.
Right, and these stories are just by the hundreds, if not by the thousands. I mean, people just don't bother writing. But I did it myself. You know, I think it's about 3 months ago. I was doing yoga, and I was a little...
Good for you.
Yes. I was a bit absent-minded that morning. You know, my mind was elsewhere, and I was doing the movements kind of mechanically, and I overstretched. I just simply pulled to a place where I shouldn't have. And all of a sudden, it's like, uh-oh, this is not funny. And sure enough, you know, I'm hoping, oh yeah, I hope it doesn't develop into something. But, you know, 1 hour later, I'm feeling it develop. But 2 hours later, I already know I'm going to be in a lot of trouble. As I mentioned, I already know what this feels like.
Right.
So I went and I took 20 capsules of recovery. You know, the maintenance dose is about 5. So I thought, what the heck, let's do it. So I took 20, and I took 20 more in the morning, the next morning, and I was fine. It's, you know, I was a bit tender, but I was not crawling to the washroom or any such thing.
Cool, that's great. So, Martin, as you know, I've been doing hot yoga for a few years now, and at my age, I notice that it's a bit of a strain on my knees, some of the postures.
Yes.
So I pull back on them, right, because I notice, oh, this is, you know, 2 days later, I can feel my knees, you know, as I'm walking. This is not good. So, but something like recovery, that would be a good thing to add to that regimen, I would guess.
Well, you know, recovery is great because it will help you deal with the pain. It will undo the inflammation, but it does not heal the problem.
Okay, so that's a big distinction.
Yes, so your knees, you know, they might be giving out possibly because your hamstrings are just a little too tight.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Probably so, and that is caused by colon that's not clean enough.
Oh, okay.
So
colon cleanse is in the order.
Colon cleanse and magnesium supplementation to help relax the tight muscles. Once that happens, you will be able to, you know, make the forward bends without putting the stress on it.
Okay. Cool.
So, yeah, yes, this was an important distinction. You know, the recovery is dealing with the pain and the inflammation, or rather, the inflammation is cause of the pain, but it's not dealing with the primary problem.
Right, and that's the amino acids you talked about, platinum plus, that would be the dealing with the problem.
Well, they bypass the problem. No, again, they you know, when you start supplementing them, they compensate for the deficiency in your digestive system.
Okay.
So it's a great thing because you could go on without crawling on the floor, you know, you completely, I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, I've had people who have had neck pain and carpal tunnel syndrome and, you know, all kinds of whatever names that you can give to all kinds of painful inflammatory conditions.
Right.
When they start taking the amino acids, the body now is able to heal the damaged tissue, so the pain goes away. But the moment you stop taking the aminos, you maybe have 3-4 days, then you're back in pain. In fact, I remember I got this phone call from a lady. She said, "Martin, can you please overnight me some of these aminos?" I said, "What happened?" She said, "Well, I thought I could go without. I've been feeling so good. I thought that it wasn't doing much anything anymore. Well, I've been out for 3 days, and I'm hurting." So, you know, it doesn't fix the cause, but it sure deals with the pain.
Right. It helps. So then it gives you an opportunity then to fix the cause.
Well, first of all, you can go to work, so you can afford to fix the problem because you're buying yourself some time.
Right.
And the cause, again, is namely toxicity. So we need to detoxify the body. The stuff like zeolite is really good at trapping the heavy metals. The amino acids help with that as well. They help. They kind of wrap themselves around the heavy metal molecule and help drag it out of the body through the normal detoxification channels. You know, your gut or your kidneys, and you would pee it out. One really good product for heavy metal detoxification is an algae called chlorella. It has a really tough shell, tough skin, and for some reason it's very attractive to the nettles. They embed themselves in it somehow, and it comes out. So supplementing with superfoods is a grand idea, especially with chlorella.
Right.
Another herb that's really good at that is called cilantro, which is the leaf of the coriander. So it's known either in India or in Mexico, right? It's the Mexican parsley, right?
Yes.
Cilantro is a classic ingredient in salsa. So you can make some pesto from cilantro instead of from basil. And you can spike it with some chlorella and put it on your... I don't know what you'd be eating, taco. Okay, have we beat it sufficiently?
Well, there's no excuse for back pain anymore, I think is what we want to say. You can do something about it, and you don't have to spend $80,000 doing it and having a life-threatening experience.
From which you may either never recover or never wake up. That one would be easy. I hope your life insurance is good and your widow will enjoy the spoils.
Yeah, that's right. That would be sad. But, I mean, we want to live life with vitality, right? And
mm-hmm.
We certainly don't want to have to crawl to the washroom every morning and unable to sit up straight.
Right. So I want to reassure the listeners that I now actually do have some decent amount of athletic ability. I do continue taking these supplements because I'm still loaded with mercury from my 30 years of having had the mercury in my face. But I'm certainly coping, and I'm in a fine shape.
Wonderful. So, Martin, if somebody wants to know more about what they could do about their issues with their back, what should they do?
Well, life-enthusiast.com. Look up under health concerns. Look up back pain. We call it that. Or call us. It's 1-866-543-3388. We're ready to help you through. This is Martin and Scott for Life Enthusiast Co-op, restoring vitality to you, your back, and to the planet.